the importance of preserving the balance of truth. We have long been convinced that untold harm has been done to souls through failure at this point, if the preacher gives a disproportionate place in his ministry to the divine law, relegating the gospel to the background. Not only are his hearers in danger of forming a one-sided concept of the divine character, but the Christian is deprived of that which is most needed for the establishing and growth of his faith in Christ. On the other hand, if the divine law be virtually shelved so that its strictness, its breadth, and its spirituality are not made known, light thoughts upon sin and superficial views of the holiness of God will be the inevitable result. Both the law and the gospel must be expounded and enforced if souls are to be acquainted with God as light, 1 John 1:5, and as love, and if they are to render unto him that which is his due. In like manner, there needs to be proportionate attention paid to both doctrinal and practical teaching, the one relating to instruction and the other concerning deportment. It is an essential part of the pulpit's office to open up the foundational truths of the Christian faith, for only thus will souls be fortified against error. It is ignorance of the truth which causes so many to fall easy victims to Satan's lies. Such doctrines as the divine inspiration of the Scriptures, the Holy Trinity, the sovereignty of God, the fall of man, the everlasting covenant, the person and office of the Mediator, the design and nature of the atonement, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the justification and sanctification of the believer must be systematically taught if the minister would discharge his duty. Yet he must not confine himself to doctrine. They who feed on rich food and then take little or no exercise become sickly and useless, true alike naturally and spiritually. Faith must produce works if it is to be worth anything. Well-nurtured branches of the vine are for fruitfulness and not ornamentation. Christians are to adorn the doctrine of God, Titus 2:10, by a daily walk which glorifies him and is a blessing to their fellows. There are far too many cumberers of the ground. Once more, if the balance is to be preserved, the preacher must see to it that he is careful to maintain a due proportion between the objective and subjective sides of the truth. He fails miserably in the discharge of his duty if he neglects it to probe the professor and search the conscience of his hearers. He needs to remind them frequently that God requires truth in the inward parts, Psalm 51:6, that his law must be written upon the heart, Hebrews 8:10, if it is to exert any effectual power in the life. He is required to call his hearers to examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Yea, urge them to pray with David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways." Psalm 139:23. Multitudes of professing Christians mistake an intellectual assent to the letter of Scripture for a saving faith, and most of what they hear in so-called evangelical circles is only calculated to bolster them up in a false hope. He who is faithful in dealing with souls will frequently remind his hearers of Christ's statement, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. But the preacher needs to be much on his guard, lest he overdoes what is termed experimental preaching. If he virtually confines himself to the lines specified in the preceding paragraph, his hearers will become too introspective, too busily engaged in looking within, and instead of their assurance being strengthened, genuine Christians will be filled with doubtings and questionings about their state. To counteract that tendency, the objective side of the truth must also be emphasized. Christ, in all the wonders and the glories of his peerless person, in the perfections of his mediatorial office, in the sufficiency of his atoning work, must be held up to view so that the hearts of his redeemed may be drawn out to him in faith, in love, in worship. They must be encouraged to look unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:1, and consider the apostle and high priest of their profession, Hebrews 3:1. For only thus will they be furnished with both incentives and strength to run the race that is set before them. What has been pointed out above applies as much to the editor of a magazine as to the occupant of the pulpit. He must beware of being a hobbyist, always harping upon a favorite theme. Side by side with pressing the precepts of Scripture, he must dwell upon the exceeding great and precious promises of God. Messages of exhortation must be balanced by messages of consolation. Articles which rebuke and lay low need to be followed by subjects which comfort the mourner and lift up the soul in praise to God. If on the one hand we read that the lamb is to be eaten with bitter herbs, Exodus 12, right after we are told of the tree being cast into the bitter waters of Marah so that they were made sweet, Exodus 15. If the word of God be likened to a hammer which breaks in pieces the cold heart, Jeremiah 23:29, and a sword to pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, Hebrews 4:12, we also find it being compared with honey and the honeycomb, Psalm 19:10. He who is wise will observe these things and seek grace to be regulated accordingly. At present, we are engaged with a particularly searching portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and one design we have in dwelling upon it in such a detail is the testing and exposing of formal professors. It is therefore expedient that we should accompany these articles with a message that is intended to help, under God's blessing, those of the unestablished saints who are liable to draw a false conclusion therefrom. If empty professors are ready to greedily devour that bread, which is the peculiar portion of God's little ones, it is also true that not a few regenerate souls are prone to appropriate unto themselves that which applies only to hypocrites. If on the one side there are unregenerate people who firmly believe themselves to be real Christians, on the other side there are genuinely renewed souls who greatly fear they are not Christians at all, who now conclude the profession of faith made by them sincerely in the past was based on a delusion, and that after all they have been deceiving themselves and others, that they are hypocrites. March 1943.